Growing up, Joan Peterson always wanted to help people. Now executive director of CASA of Lackawanna County, she, along with CASA volunteers, advocate for children in foster care to ensure they find a safe home. Joan Peterson takes the story from here.
CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. CASA is a volunteer child advocacy program where we have trained volunteers that we match with children who are in foster care that need an advocate. CASA of Lackawanna, the program itself, began in 2008. It was started at the time as Lackawanna County CASA by the former president, Judge Chester Harhut, with the Advocacy Alliance. That was how it originally began. I myself joined the program in 2014 as the executive director.
We think of children and growing up and everything being perfect, and you're seeing things that are not always perfect.
No, things are not always perfect. Nobody's life is perfect. But there does come a point where the county has to intercede. And some people are able to be helped with supports and services, and children can stay in their home. For some children, unfortunately, in order to ensure their safety and their well-being, it is necessary to remove kids from the home and for them to be placed in foster care. So in Lackawanna County, every year, 200 to 300 children are placed in the foster care system.
Does that alarm you?
It's very unfortunate, but I think it would be worse for children to stay in situations where they weren't safe. We're recruiting, training, and supervising the dedicated volunteers who are the folks who are directly supporting these children.
That's a huge responsibility for a volunteer. So what is the criteria in becoming a part of CASA? How does it work?
On a daily basis, you know, I'm answering a call from someone who might be interested in volunteering and wants to learn more about the program. We're making sure that our volunteers have clearances, that they're ready to be assigned to a case. We make sure that our volunteers are visiting with the children on a regular basis and documenting those visits. We have court hearings about every 3 months on every case. Our volunteers will prepare a report for those hearings. We review those reports, make sure they've covered everything, send them to the court. We'll go to the court hearings and make sure that the volunteer is there, that they're with the child and the family, and that the child feels safe and that their perspective is being presented at the hearing.
How many people make up the CASA staff in Lackawanna County?
It's myself, and we have two volunteer coordinators, so a staff of three, currently serving 85 children.
Who would make the optimum CASA advocate? What kind of temperament are you looking for?
You have to be over 21. You have to pass child abuse, police, FBI background clearances. We have a 30-hour training, court observation in there as well. Then they have to be sworn in by the court to take a case. An ideal volunteer is somebody that, I mean, really has the heart for kids, wants to do something to help, and has the time. I know we hear on the news there are difficult stories about children that have been removed from situations of abuse or neglect, and I know sometimes it feels hopeless. But we want people to know that, you know, they, as a citizen, as a member of the community, can do something to help. You know, they can volunteer to be an advocate for that one child, that one sibling group. So maybe you can't help every single kid in a difficult situation, but you could help one or two and really make a difference for that child, for that family. If you're thinking about retiring and you're thinking, well, what am I going to do with my time after I retire? You know, you're 65, 66 years old. One thing you could do is call me and find out about the program, and you could be a volunteer.
What is the time requirement of a volunteer when they do take a case?
Our volunteers are spending 10 hours a month volunteering with a child and a family, and it's something really meaningful that a person could do to make a difference.
What you just described to me was someone who is sensitive and someone who is aware and wants to help. But when you're taking a child, for example, to a hearing, or they have to see the lawyers or anything along those lines, this is where you have to be objective.
Yes.
That's the hard part to me.
It is very hard. And that's something that we stress a lot in training, is objectivity. We're human. We all make inferences from what we're looking at. But you have to be able to objectively describe a situation and also look for strengths. We can't just look for what people don't have. You have to look at what they do have. A home can be very humble and crowded. You could have a two-bedroom apartment with parents and three kids, but if they're loving and they have adequate food and heat, are able to meet the basic needs of their children, like that's where we want them to be.
What drew you to this occupation?
I personally have always wanted to be a social worker. I grew up in Baltimore. I saw a lot of people who were struggling and suffering, and I wanted to see, you know, what can you do to make a difference? How can you help people's lives? How can you make your community better? That's what led me to study social work at Marywood. I have worked in a variety of different fields. I've worked as a foster care caseworker, did some adoption work as well, but I've always had a heart for children, wanting to do something that makes a difference. And every day I get to see situations where our volunteers are able to advocate for kids and make a difference. We had one particular case where some children went on a respite to a different foster home. And they and the foster parents were such a good fit, this new foster family. Not that the other foster home wasn't meeting their basic needs, because it certainly was, but they really clicked with this new foster family. And their biological mother, who unfortunately struggled with her mental health, acknowledged that the children could not come home with her. And so we were able to advocate for this respite foster home to become permanent so that these children could stay permanently with this family where they truly felt safe, and not just their needs were being met, but their potential was being nurtured. And that's just one example of what our volunteer can do in advocating to make a difference.
You think of that voluntary position, and there's so much responsibility. How do they draw that line between getting emotionally involved and remaining a CASA advocate, volunteer?
You're going to want to be able to advocate strongly, but at the end of the day, we're making a recommendation. The children and youth workers are making recommendations. And some of those folks are very experienced. They've worked in the system for a long time. They might be aware of aspects of the case that we're not. So we try to work very closely with them, communicate closely so that we can share our observations with one another. Ultimately, the judge makes the decisions. And so that's what I tell our volunteers, is we make a recommendation, and children and youth workers might make a recommendation, and the judge looks at all the information, the judge makes a decision, and, you know, we have great respect for our courts, and we will, of course, respect and abide by those decisions. There are times that our advocates have asked for children to be able to step out of the courtroom if something that's going to be discussed wouldn't be in their best interest to be a part of. We have one case that I'm thinking of where the volunteer sits outside of the courtroom with the children during the hearing because of the nature of the proceedings as a companion and as a support to them. The judge has to see them, know that they're there, and then they and their advocates sit outside of the courtroom during the hearing. We're trying to support children in whatever best they feel supported.
Has there ever been a situation where you went in with the best intention for the child, hoping for something that would make their life a little bit easier, and the judge said something differently?
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, there have been times where what the CASA advocate recommended, or what we as a program recommended, was not what the judge ruled. And generally, our volunteers accept that with the respect for the court. And there have been other times where, one case I'm thinking of in particular, there were children that went home in a situation we weren't entirely sure was for the best for them. And they did come back into care a few years later and ended up being adopted. Whenever possible, we reassign the same advocate back to that case. The goal for kids when they come into care is reunification. You know, you always want children to be able to go back to their family of origin whenever possible, if it is possible and safe. And so there have been times where kids do go home. You think it's going to be okay. We all want it to be okay, but sometimes folks are struggling, and it might be okay for a kid to go home, and then later they come back into care, and at that point it's kind of like, well, at this point we don't think that they can go home again safely, and we don't want children bouncing in and out of foster care and home. Kids need permanency. Kids need stability. So at that point, you know, our volunteer might make a different recommendation. So the great thing about having the dedicated volunteers that I do is we have folks who have volunteered with us for years. And so oftentimes, if kids do come back into care a year later, 2 years later, that same volunteer is able to take on the case again. And they already know the history. They already know the child. And they're able to step in and be a support.
Being a support is not only the noble thing and the right thing to do, but it's also an emotional drain. Mm-hmm. So do you ever have a chance to sit down with your volunteers and talk with them and just kind of let them unload a little bit so they can just get the strength to do what they need to do to help that child?
We have monthly meetings with our CASA volunteers, and we will use that as an opportunity to do training, but also for our volunteers to talk about their cases, any frustrations or concerns, and for them to receive like support from not only us as staff, but their peers. And because everything is confidential, for many of them, that is really the only outlet to process some of those feelings in a confidential space. We have volunteers from all walks of life. We have volunteers who are professors at the University of Scranton, one who paints houses, teachers, social workers, folks who are stay-at-home moms, med students who are, you know, volunteering because they have a requirement to do a certain number of volunteer hours. They are all different kinds of people, and so they process these things in different ways. What we all have in common is we are advocating for the best interest of that child, and our goal is, for most of these cases, is for reunification. And so whenever possible, we're also trying to talk to the parents, encourage the parents, support the parents in following through on the things that they would need to do to get their children home. You want to support this family, but you have to maintain our focus is the child. I've had to tell the volunteers many times, you know, you can't advocate for someone harder than they can advocate for themselves. If they're working really hard in a positive direction, coming to their visits, they're going to their drug and alcohol treatment, cooperating with their mental health services that they're required to do, you know, that you see them trying to get a job and maintain appropriate housing. And these things are hard, and in this environment. And so we want to encourage them. But again, we can't be fighting for them harder than they're willing to fight for themselves.
When you are representing the children, do you ever go to the schools to see how they're doing academically, checking up to making sure that they are attending, that they are participating in class? And what kind of differences do you see when they're getting some help?
The CASA volunteer role, part of what they're doing is not only making recommendations for the outcomes for children, but also making sure that while they are in care, their needs are being met. In this day and age, these things are mostly done on the phone and via email. But we're also checking with their doctor. Are they going to the doctor regularly? Have they been to the dentist? Are they getting therapy? And do they have unmet needs? You know, perhaps the child has been on a waiting list for therapy. So that's a big part of the CASA volunteer role as well, is just to monitor those things. Nothing falls through the cracks to the doctor, because ultimately, that's really the responsibility of the parents or the foster family. A lot of kids are in kinship care now.
What is kinship care?
That is where a child is placed with a relative. It could be a grandparent. It could be an aunt, an uncle. A lot of kids are now in kinship care because that keeps them in with their family connections. It makes it easier for them to continue with their life as it was before they came into care.
How long does a CASA volunteer deal with one particular instance before they move on to the next?
There's a statutory requirement in Pennsylvania that these cases be reviewed every 6 months. Lackawanna County has been trying to review cases every 3 months because they want to have cases reviewed more frequently to make sure that things are proceeding. But when kids have been in care for 18 months or so, if the parents aren't making any progress, the goal is for a child to have a safe, permanent home. And in order for that to happen, they'll need to change the goal from reunification to a different permanency option for that child. So now, kids aren't languishing in foster care for years and years anymore. There are never enough CASA volunteers. You know, right now there are 285 kids approximately in foster care in Lackawanna County. We really need volunteers. So if anyone's interested in being a volunteer, they absolutely should go to our website. It's casaoflackawanna.org. We're always willing to talk to folks and want to learn more about the program, want to volunteer, or need help with their own or a friend or family member's situation.
Special thanks to Joan Peterson, Executive Director of CASA of Lackawanna County. Again, if you'd like some more information about becoming a volunteer, casaoflackawanna.org. Or if you live in Luzerne County, they're also looking for volunteers, luzernecasa.org for more information. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.